For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. UVA pushes back the start of in-person classes by 2 weeks as concerns mount over a shortage of testing materials and the spread of COVID-19 in Charlottesville. For the first time this election season, you'll be able to track the progress of your mail-in ballot. And we follow up yesterday's cautionary tale of coronavirus failures at a Luray nursing home with a success story at another facility in Richmond. It's Wednesday, August the 5th, and this is the WMRA Daily. University of Virginia is pushing back the start of in-person classes 2 weeks and delaying move-in day for undergraduates. The move comes amidst an increase of COVID-19 cases in the Charlottesville area and throughout Virginia. UVA announced the change in an email on Tuesday. The email said, in addition to concerns over the virus itself, supply chain disruptions are affecting the availability of testing materials. Students were scheduled to move in August 18th and begin in-person classes on the 25th. Instead, online undergraduate classes will begin on August 25th, and in-person instruction will start on September 8th. Graduate and professional programs will remain on schedule. All students are required to submit a negative COVID-19 test and quarantine for 14 days before returning to the Charlottesville area. Voters in Virginia will now be able to track the progress of their mail-in ballots, one of several changes coming to absentee voting this November. Ben Pavier with our partner station, VPM, reports.
Ballots will come with so-called intelligent mail codes under new regulations passed by the Board of Elections. The idea is to help the overworked Postal Service speed up their delivery. The move comes as President Trump cast doubt on the agency's ability to quickly return ballots. State Elections Commissioner Chris Piper says his department has a strong relationship with the Postal Service.
We have been assured over and over again that election mail is a priority for the Postal Service.
A new state law allows absentee ballots mailed on November 3rd, Election Day, to still be counted so long as registrars receive them by noon on November 6th. Still, Piper is encouraging voters to cast mail-in absentee ballots sooner rather than later. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Lawmakers head back to Richmond this month to put together a new budget, one that takes into account the new economic situation presented by the pandemic. They'll consider a number of proposals to raise new revenue, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The top income tax bracket in Virginia is $17,000. So people who make $20,000 a year pay the same tax rate as people who make $20 million a year. Chris Wadica at the Commonwealth Institute says lawmakers can adopt a more progressive structure to raise more revenue and meet the shortfall instead of slashing their way out of the crisis, which is what happened during the last downturn.
Our K-12 schools still hadn't recovered from those cuts even a decade later. Tuition at our public colleges and universities still remains up relative to where we were. And I think we know that when we make these cuts, when there are economic slowdowns, that those have a way of compounding over time.
Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says now is not the time to raise taxes.
There's a basic philosophical problem I have. You don't go around raising taxes in the middle of a recession. If you want the economy to recover, you don't raise taxes on businesses. You don't raise taxes on families.
Other options for new revenue include restoring Virginia's estate tax, closing tax avoidance loopholes for corporations, and creating a new tax on digital products. Michael Pope.
The city of Richmond is soliciting ideas for what to do with the Confederate monuments that have been taken down and placed in storage. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the city council will allow museums, historical societies, and others to submit proposals. Demonstrators began tearing down the statues after the police killings of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Breonna Taylor in Louisville, and others. Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney then ordered that crews take the statues down, citing a threat to public safety as protests gripped the city. Richmond City Council voted on Monday to permanently remove the statues that are being held in storage. Finally, today, the pandemic has ravaged long-term care facilities in Virginia and across the country. Infection control has been a struggle for many nursing homes, including one in Luray that we heard about yesterday. But several facilities have been able to contain the spread of the novel coronavirus and prevent deaths. Megan Pauley from partner station VPM reports on one Richmond area facility's success at protecting its residents.
Andre Ackerman works at the Virginia Home, a Richmond nursing facility for adults with physical disabilities.
So it's 9 in the morning. I came into work. I took my temperature. It is 97.6. I have no symptoms, so I'm ready to get to work.
Before the pandemic hit, Ackerman was a speech and dental assistant. But when COVID-19 struck in early April, his job changed overnight. He was quickly trained to be a monitor on the COVID-positive floor. That meant a lot of different things.
Like, let's say we ran out of masks, they would come to me and say, Andre, we need more masks. And so I would, you know, leave the unit, decontaminate myself, come to our central supply of our COVID-19 storage.
Not only did Ackerman help ensure staff had enough personal protective equipment, known as PPE, he also helped make sure everyone, including housekeeping employees, were trained on how to safely put it on and take it off.
Their job is just as important as anybody else's within the facility to make sure we contain the spread of the virus, but they've never been trained to put on and take off PPEs.
They had a very organized and coordinated effort to control the outbreak, led by medical director Dr. Mary Simmers. She put in place a methodical process for reusing PPE. So far, they've had a relatively small number of cases, 13 residents and 4 staff members, and no deaths. Simmers also limited who entered the COVID-positive floor and how. There was a specific stairwell, complete with bleach foot baths for staff to clean the bottoms of their shoes. Simmers was frequently on the floor herself doing on-the-spot training.
I would wear like a special white coat and special shoes and then take those off before I went back like to my office, for example. But the remainder of the staff on the affected unit only went in and out of that unit and didn't go anywhere else in the building.
She says if anything, the facility was overstaffed, which definitely contributed to their ability to control the outbreak. Simmers can think of only one staff member out of 200 who quit because of the virus. She said consistent leadership and low staff turnover were key.
You know, I think we were able to be maybe a little more nimble and respond faster than maybe nursing homes that had to wait and then get directives, you know, from the top down.
The Virginia Home is a nonprofit. 4 out of 5 nursing homes across the country are corporate-owned. CEO Bob Kraus says it's unusual for nursing homes to receive as much financial support as the Virginia Home does. That makes it possible for residents to have their own rooms and a full-time medical director.
I think there was a temptation, you know, not intentional, but to sort of drop your guard, relax a little bit because things had been so intense. Mary didn't let us do that, and I mean that in absolute admiration, because if we had done that, I think, you know, we would be in a different place right now.
Charlene Harrington's a national expert who has studied nursing home staffing for over 30 years. She says most nursing homes don't have a full-time medical director.
What that usually means is that they pay someone for about 2 hours of work a week. So the nursing homes that have half-time or full-time directors are in much better shape. They have a much better quality of care.
Rob Tompkins knew there was a difference in the quality of care at the Virginia Home before his father moved there in 2016, after 7 years on the waiting list. But Tompkins was still worried about COVID.
You know, as soon as I heard that there was a case there, I was like, okay, well, he's going to get it. And he didn't. And that in itself is wholly remarkable.
Tompkins says the fact his dad didn't get sick speaks volumes about how well the Virginia Home has managed during the pandemic. In Richmond, I'm Megan Pauley.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.